Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Thriving Adoptees podcast. So today I'm delighted to be joined by Alkus Iannu, who, Alkus, you are our first guest from New Zealand. So I'm absolutely delighted to welcome you on the show.
Great to be here.
Yeah. So can you share a little bit, introduce yourself to the audience, please?
Yes, I'm the chief executive of a New Zealand accredited adoption agency called Compassion for Orphans, and we help to facilitate the adoption of children from countries from outside New Zealand into New Zealand. New Zealand is not what they call a sending country. We don't send children out to be adopted, but we do receive children from countries who are signatories to the Hague Convention.
And we'll get into your story in a little while. But the next question I'd like to ask you, if it's okay, Alkus, is what comes to your mind when I say these words, thriving adoptees? What does that mean to you?
What that means to me is that every child's got the right to grow up in a loving family, and we try and facilitate that so the children can reach their full potential.
Fantastic. And can you tell me a little bit about your story and how you came, you know, how the personal became the professional, and just the stuff that you shared last time when we spoke was just super.
Yeah, my story started with the adoption of a 7-year-old girl from Russia. Felt that I had life was too comfortable. I had lots of room in the house for a little person, so I started the journey, and then from there I learned a lot about the process and wanted to bring more children back. Nearly adopted another 2 children while I was there in Russia. Uh-huh. But that fell through. That was kind of a thing that just happened. But I thought I could have more effect by helping more children, by helping lots of families to adopt children, and that led to the beginning of the agency.
Yeah, fantastic. And how long ago was that, Alkus? How old's your daughter now?
She's about 32, 33 now. Wow. I've got 2 children of her own. And so that was back in 1996. And then 4 years after that is when I left my business that I had to set up the agency, which I did full time for 3 years. From there now, we run it with a team of people.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah, I mean, so you're obviously a very proud dad and now a proud granddad.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It's a lifelong thing. When you adopt a child, then it's the children that they have, and then it's the children that they have. So it's a lifelong thing.
And we're recording this on Zoom for the benefit of the listeners. This guy is Alkus is so young and high energy. He definitely doesn't look anything like a granddad. He does not look you just do not look old enough to be a granddad, my friend. So thriving adoptees. You talked about helping making sure that kids realize their full potential, and you know, providing this stable and loving home. What for you are the ingredients? What is it that helps adopted kids do that and realize their potential? What would you like to? What have you learned over those years?
What we've learned is we like to prepare families for the lifelong commitment, you know, that, and we like to give them support. So we commit social workers to walk alongside them to, if there's any hiccups on the road, that they're trained and expert at helping them overcome any issues and helping with parenting strategies, and generally being there for as long as the families need to be successful in the integration of the child into the family.
Yeah, yeah. So what have you learned yourself? Obviously we're hopping between here for, you know, Alkus as dad and Alkus as the CEO of this adoption agency. So what is it that you've learned personally with your daughter in terms of what's helped her thrive and go on to be a loving mum of two as well?
I think something that's important is to be that stable influence in their lives, to be there, to help give guidance where you can. A lot of children, my daughter was seven when she was adopted. A lot of children that age spent quite a bit of time in an institution. So there's going to be things that have happened in their lives that you don't expect young children to have to go through. And you have to be prepared for what might have happened and get help where you need to get help. It's that love and commitment, you know, to help. To see it through, as if that child was born to you.
Of course. So this is going back a long time ago, but what were the challenges that came up for your daughter, and what did you learn through those challenges that could help our listeners?
Some of the difficulties was connection, attachment. You know, it's a different type of attachment to children that are born to you, and children have been through maybe lots of caregivers and institution have learned not to trust or love, because the amount of times that they've trusted an adult who's been left, you know, then they've had a new person. And that can translate sometimes into that people don't love them. That's why they left, you know, so it takes a long time to try and build that trust and connection, you know, so, and that comes through commitment and time and, you know, and showing that trust and being a stable force, you know, and there are lots of challenges on the journey. For my daughter, she got her real connection when she had her daughter. She finally had someone in the world that she could connect to. That was a big revelation for me. You know, that was
So how did you feel at that point?
It's a journey, you know, it's a hard to describe it as any moment. You know, it's just a journey that you're on, and you know, you're just seeing things unfold and learning. You know, I learned a lot through that. You know, I was able to mention it to someone else who went through something similar, you know, I can't say it's any flash light bulb moment. It's just
no. Have you discussed this with your daughter at length, or you know, is this a kind of like a non-issue so many years on?
I just went on to the next thing of life, you know, after that.
Because, you know, it's clear that, you know, you're a visionary kind of a guy. You just move on, don't you? I mean,
you just move and go with life and go with what's, you know, what's ahead, and just keep developing the relationship and keep moving.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of other things in life as well, you know, jobs, there's, you know, what's happening in their job, what's happening in their private lives, you know, what's happening with the kids, you know, there's a whole heap of stuff. So,
yeah. How old are your grandkids, Albert?
12 and 8, I think. Okay. Yeah, 11 and 8, something like that. Yeah.
And so is your daughter a full-time mum? She's not going to join you in the agency or anything like that, or does she do anything in the agency? Or
no, she's in Auckland. She actually lives in Auckland, so and works in Auckland, so she's quite a distance away, and she hasn't expressed any interest in working in the agency. So
yeah, I just ask, because I you know, I went into the family business, so
she's I'm an accountant by trade, and she does some accounting work for me, so how's that?
Oh, she's followed that. She's picked that up through nurture. Not nature. So What have you learnt professionally in this? You talked about a lifelong commitment. So your social workers, the social workers within the agency, are there with a lifelong commitment to supporting the adoptive parents and the adoptive families that you work with. What sort of things have you learned from them? You know, and how does that? Because it gives it a different slant. You've got your own perspective. What you've learned, at, you know, being in the thick of it. I'm sensing that you're kind of like a very empowering boss. So you bring in the experts and you let the experts get on with it. But what is it that you've? How do you see these two learnings stacking up, being different? How's that shaped? How's that shaped overall for you in terms of anything that you feel could help the listeners as adopted parents?
A lot of what I learned actually came through pain, and that pain was a failed adoption early on in the in our agency. And so I did a lot of research into what affected successful adoptions, and there were some really key things. The first key thing was a lifelong commitment to assist the families. You know, we had to make a commitment. So I went to our board, so we've got a board of governance, and I said to them, all of us need to make this commitment to the families that we come and work with us, that we will commit to support them, you know, through the whole process. And when the children come into the family, we'll continue that commitment. And so they all bought into that. And so that's number one. Secondly, is that early intervention is really important. If something crops up with the family, or something from a child's past, or things come out, you know, when the children gain a bit of trust, they start sharing what might have happened to them. There might have been some abuse. There might have been, a whole heap of things that happened. And our social workers are trained to know whether that is just a normal childhood thing, you know, growing up, or something to do with adoption. And they will say, we think you need to get specialist advice here. They are trained to do that. So they will bring in the specialists themselves. Another thing we learned, you know, through this research is that adoption support has to be inexpensive. And if it's expensive, people won't use it. So it has to be inexpensive. So we don't charge for our social workers' time. So occasionally they have to use specialists. We know where they can go and get funding. And we also had someone who applied to adopt through us, and they found in the end that they were too old, or they discovered that they were too old to adopt. So any money they were going to spend on the adoption, they said, oh, we'll give it to you if you use it to support families when they need help. So we put the money into this account, and that's available there. People can apply, you know, to get help for their children. Those were the key things that we learned to make, you know, successful adoption.
Yeah. I'm very interested in what you said about the social workers being trained to spot what is a children issue and what is an adoption issue. Can you share a little bit more about that?
Could be just normal to most kids. It could be tantrums. You know, the tantrum could be, you know, just a thing that kids do. Another thing could be one of the children that was adopted through us was having night tremors. And it transpired that back in the orphanage, they were doing things with ghosts and things at nighttime. And, you know, and it took a while to extract that from the child, you know, and it got to the stage where they needed to bring a psychologist in to help with that. You know, now social worker was able to identify that there was a deeper issue than just a kid having a nightmare, you know, something back, you know, into their past. Yeah, so that it's things like that. It could be, you know, any abuse they might have suffered, and they need, you know, intervention for that.
Yeah, because I mean, saying that, I saw something on Facebook this morning, in an adult adoptee in a Facebook group for adult adoptees, having a rant about something that her, you know, that her husband had said to her. And the husband had made it about adoption. And I think it's a very, well, I refer to this in colloquial terms as pinning the tail on the wrong donkey. You know, we kind of like, we've got these pair of glasses. We've both got actually very similar glasses, haven't we? But you know, we're wearing this pair of glasses, and through which we see the world. And you know, if we've got the this is an adoption issue glasses on, then it can become quite disempowering. So I'm talking here from personal experience. When I thought some stuff that I was going through was adoption specific, I thought it was that somehow made it more challenging to overcome. I was kind of, it was something I was stuck with. Whereas when I realized it was a human issue rather than an adoption issue, then it becomes somehow kind of more transient, less of an issue, and easier to, and you know, like a bag that's easier to put down rather than a baggage on the back, the rucksack that that I'm stuck with. So I'm just wondering if you can you share anything about, does that make sense?
I think that's almost exactly what I've been talking about, that we've got to be careful we don't label everything as related to adoption, you know, because kids do kid stuff, you know, and not everything is related to their adoption.
And have you had any personal moments of that, you know, when you've something's happened and you've seen that, that you would be up for sharing, Bill?
Not that I can recall straight off the top of my head. Yeah, nothing.
It's a long time ago. Yeah. So you've talked about a lifelong commitment of parents, yes, and you as an agency that shares that lifelong commitment. So it's pretty clear that you're a man of high moral fiber, and you know, like a clear, you've got a very clear sense of the world. So how does that impact your work, do you think?
It comes from a passion, you know, to see, the key thing is that people have reached their full potential. That's the key, to have that opportunity, you know, that's where that comes from.
Yeah. If you had your time again with your daughter, would you do anything differently, do you think?
That's hard to answer, because you're learning as you go, you know. So maybe if I had you know, the support that we're offering now, that might have helped in a lot of, you know, instances. Yeah. There were a couple of moments where I had to reach out, you know, before the agency, and had to reach out to try and get advice, and it wasn't there, you know, to get help.
Yeah.
You know, or people gave misleading advice, and you know, and that sort of thing. So I'm quite careful to, you know, that one of the key things for our social is make sure to keep the family together. There's some instances where people they think they can parent the children better than what the parents can, you know, and they think that's the solution. You know, they think it's separating the children from the parents for a while, and you know, every intent should be trying to keep the family together.
So in a way, then what you've done is you've taken what you've learned that was missing from your own, that you know, you've created the agency that you wish you'd had in a certain way. Is it? I mean, is that kind of
accidentally? Yeah,
wasn't accidentally.
Accidentally, yeah.
Accidentally. Well,
yeah, because when I set up the agency, I actually didn't know, you know, really, you know, there's been a big learning thing as well, you know, actually bringing in the experts, like you said, and they're teaching you all the time, you know, so, yeah.
So it's been about being open, yeah. And I'm not sure whether I agree with the accidentally word. I would say that this is kind of like inspired. It's like an inspired Well, you're not going to, I'm sure you're a modest guy, so you're not going to take this, but, you know, it seemed to me like an inspired genius, you know, like we've got this idea that, you know, there's seven ways of doing this and everything has to be like strategically thought out. But no, it seemed to me, it seems like that's what you've done. It's been a good accident.
Yeah, we've gone out and we do actually have a mode of operation where we do look for best practice. So we're constantly looking for improving. You know, we never think we've arrived. We're always looking to improve, learning from other people. You know, and that's kind of helped. So we've actually grown as an agency, you know, over the years because of that, because of the learning and mistakes you make, and you know, and yeah, becoming a bit bolder in some things that you believe in, and you know, and implementing them.
Yeah, yeah. So are there any recent additions to the best practice that you could share if you felt that would be useful to the listeners, or is it all a bit too technical?
Yeah, it's we went through a really big best practice thing, and now we're just fine tuning what we did. You know, so. Yeah, that's we've been really fine tuning our support plan, you know, so what that looks like, and we've got quite a detailed support plan that we offer to parents. I think we've led the way in some things too. One thing I can recall that's recent, and I don't know of any other, is but we've got an app that people can subscribe to, and it's got all our resources on it. It's got videos that people can watch. It's got books that they can order from our library. That's something that an initiative that we kind of brought in.
Yeah. And that's just for clients, yeah? That's not for the...
No, there's certain levels that... there's a level where people can see all the resources. When they become clients, then they can actually see families of ours that have adopted that answer my questions about their experience, and we don't kind of want to open them up to the whole world, you know, because anyone in the world can download this app. So, yeah, so it gets quite a bit more detailed, you know, when it gets into that, it gets quite specific.
So what's the name of the app in case people want to download that?
It's just called CFO, which is short for Compassion for Orphans, CFO Resources App. They can find it on our website, so they can download it onto their phone and look at.
Yeah, that's great. So what I'm going to do is, obviously, a lot of people listening to podcasts are driving, or like me, walking the dog and driving. So I'll put a link into your website and your social media content, so people can get in touch with. Especially the app, I think, would be a great resource for people to look at.
And also with our website, what we did is because we don't charge any fees for what we do, there's no financial gain for us to exchange information. So we make absolutely everything we can available on our website. The whole process, costs, eligibility criteria, everything is on. We don't want it to be a mystery for people about inter-country adoption. We want them to go in there and answer all the questions they might have.
Yeah.
So we want to show them the whole picture from the beginning to the end, what it looks like. Yeah,
that's great. So is there anything else you'd like to share as we wrap this up, Alkaz?
I'd like to say it's a wonderful thing. Adoption is an incredible thing to be involved in, and if people are thinking about it, I just encourage them to explore it, because it's in some ways not many people do it, you know, inter-country adoption, really, relatively. You know, but it's such an amazing thing.
Yeah, it is.
Just to have a child that's not born to you, someone, you know, a stranger come into your life, you know, and share your life with you. It's an incredible experience. It's challenging, can be challenging, but if you're prepared, got the right supports in place, you know, then prepare for prepare well, just in case, you know, something could happen. If it doesn't, it's great as well. It's best to be prepared. So if people are thinking about it, you know, I think you look into it.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks a lot for coming on the show, Chris. I really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, thanks.
Thanks a lot. Bye, listeners. See you soon.